Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you The Quiet Flame, Why Bunny Chose Silence Over Stardom. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. They called me the Quiet One. Even now, after all these years, after the records and the reverence, after the obituaries and the murals, people still say that. Like silence was some flaw I couldn't shake. Like I was afraid to speak. But let me tell you something. I was never afraid. I just didn't need to shout. You see, the world is a noisy place. Babylon feeds off it. Distraction. Glitter. Sound without soul. But me? I come from a place where silence is sacred. Where words aren't currency, they're covenant. You speak when it's time to speak. And if it's not time, you listen. That's what I did. That's who I was. That's why I walked away. I remember when the world came knocking. It was the early 70s and the Wailers were rising. Rising faster than we even understood at the time. Bob had that fire, that charisma. Peter had steel in his voice, thunder in his tongue. And me? I was the thread. The bridge between the fire and the steel. The grounding. We had the record deals. Studio One. Island Records. We were being prepped for something global. But global meant something else. It meant leaving. It meant conforming. It meant stepping onto Babylon's stage, singing for people who didn't know the first thing about struggle, about spirit, about us. And when the tour offer came in Europe, America, the whole machine, I said no. Just like that. No long explanation. No drama. I just knew. Why am not going? Bunny too stubborn. Bunny vexed because Bob get the light. They said all that. And more. But none of it was true. I wasn't jealous of Bob. He was my brother. I loved that man like blood. And I didn't hate Peter. I respected him, more than most. But I saw what they couldn't see. I felt it. The way Babylon rewrites stories. How they make the profit into a product. I saw the road ahead, and I couldn't walk it. Not without losing something sacred. So I stepped back. Instead of planes and passports, I went home to the hills of St. Thomas. Not to hide, to return. There, the air was clean. The ground was real. My spirit could stretch out. I would wake up to mist rolling over the mountain ridge, barefoot in the soil, planting callaloo and yam. I'd chant psalms while the sun rose over the treetops. People didn't understand. They thought I had quit. But the truth is, I had just begun. You can't hear Jaws' voice over flashing lights. You can't hold a Nyabingi rhythm in a dressing room between tour stops. And I couldn't sing Dreamland to crowds who didn't even believe Africa was real. I didn't want to perform revolution. I wanted to live it. So I chose silence. Not because I had nothing to say, but because I wanted my words to mean something when I said them. You ever heard a drum speak without being beaten? That's what silence is. It's the drum before the strike. It's the moment before thunder. It's the breath before the word. They started calling me eccentric. Said I was difficult. Said I didn't want to work. But tell me, what kind of work is it when you lose your soul doing it? When I released Black Heart Man, it wasn't for radio. It was for revelation. That album was me, pouring every tear, every chant, every ounce of sorrow and scripture into the vinyl. I didn't need to tour with it. The ones who were ready would find it. And they did. From Ethiopia to Brazil. From Trenchtown to Tokyo. They found me, not through the noise, but through the silence. I would walk through the yard in those years and feel whole. Not rich in the way Babylon counts wealth, but rich in spirit. I'd see my children, my trees, my drums. I'd roll my chalice beneath the moonlight, feel Jean's presence beside me, and I'd say, Ja, thank ya. That was fame enough for me. Bob kept rising. Peter kept clashing. And I stayed steady. Even when Bob passed in 81, and Peter was taken in 87, people looked at me like I was the last man standing. And maybe I was. But I wasn't standing on a stage. I was standing in roots. In those later years, I barely gave interviews. Not because I didn't care, but because I wanted to protect what we built. The message had to stay clean, not watered down for headlines or filtered through foreign mouths. People would come to visit the yard. Young musicians, old journalists, spiritual seekers. They'd come expecting a legend. But they found a man, just a man, kneeling beside pepper trees, chanting, listening, and they'd ask, Bunny, why you never chase the world? And I'd smile and say, because I never lost the way. You see, in Babylon, everything is rush. Rush to be seen, rush to be heard, rush to be famous. But in Zion, everything is rhythm. I kept my rhythm. I kept my flame low. And now that I'm gone, people are just beginning to understand. They say I died in 2021, but I didn't die. I just returned to the silence, to the soil, to Zion. Narrator, soft lingering. He was never absent. He was never forgotten. He was the quiet flame. And now he burns eternal.